Wisdom speaks at the intersections of life where direction is needed. When you're needing direction and you're going to get counsel from someone in the locker room, someone at work, a buddy that's a fishing buddy, you're going to have all these conflicting voices. Listen, because wisdom will be speaking. So before you enter a direction, you stop and listen. What's the wisest thing? What is the wisest thing?
Aloha and welcome to Words of New Hope. Yesterday, we began a message entitled Making Things Right, where Pastor Wayne was showing us the importance of being genuine, being real. Well, today we're going to learn that it's even more important to have our actions guided by the Holy Spirit and to be led by wisdom. Let's pick it up where we left off yesterday with the message Making Things Right. Here is Pastor Wayne.
It's the Spirit that you do what you do will either bring life or death. It's up to you. It's the Spirit that you do what you do. It's the Spirit with which you speak. Because you can try to make things right, but with the wrong spirit, and everything goes wrong. Your spirit that you carry with you, you know, there's people that have such a good spirit. When they come into a room, it kind of lights up. And even when they have to make some corrections and change this and move this around, nobody is offended because not that they made things right, but they made it right with the right spirit. Others can do the very same thing and make corrections, and everybody is just slaughtered because of a wrong spirit with which they made things right. And what God is saying is if you're going to be someone who makes things right so that God can continue answering prayers and people begin to gather, we've got to be filled with His Spirit, or the Spirit with which we carry out His will has to be correct. Otherwise, I can be right and you can be wrong, and I'll let you know it. You see, the spirit that you have can either be a fragrance or an odor. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah, it can be a fragrance where people, man, I just love that person's spirit. Same thing, an odor. Same thing. You carry out same thing, but with a different spirit. About a week ago, I had this beautiful, pungent puakini kini lay on at the office, and people within 20 yards would go, man, who smells good? Raise my hand. And not only do I smell good, everybody else smells good too. And that's a fragrance of someone's spirit. That's just they do things well. On the other hand, what if I had two dead mongoose hanging on my neck? Pew, the whole world will stink. But you see, that's what the Bible is talking about. If we're going to be problem solvers, we've got to be filled with, inundated by, permeated with the Spirit of God. What does that mean? You do what Jesus would do with His Spirit. Often we do what Jesus would do, but we put our spirit to it. And so just doing what Jesus did does not mean it's going to bring life. I know a lot of people that'll do, they think what they're doing, what Jesus would do. But they do it with a human spirit. And the letter kills, but His Spirit attached to what you do brings what? Life. So you correct things, but you do it correctly with the right spirit. And that's what God is looking for, that people who will be making things right will be doing it with His Spirit. Because you can be telling people the right thing, even correcting people correctly, but with the wrong spirit, and it kills. About 2 years ago, I came back from a Wednesday night service, and I was going up this road over here, and there was a detour sign, and I saw a tractor further down, so I thought I was going to detour around him, so I kept driving, but slowly, and this policeman jumped out in the road from nowhere. It was at night, and he waved at me, and he walked up, and he said, "Didn't you see the detour sign?" I said, "Yeah, I did. I'm looking for the detour." He said, "Detour, detour, detour," and he poked towards this one lane. And I said, "Well, I didn't know." He said, "Have you been drinking?" I said, "No, actually, I just came from church." "So get up there, go up there, you'll cause an accident." And you know, I felt about that big. And I drove up there and I thought, you know, Lord, He told me the direction, He gave me the regulation, He gave me instruction, but His spirit was so... Now, this is not stereotypical of all policemen. They're usually outstanding people, just this one. But he did it with... I gotta make these asides, you know. And because I saw a couple of policemen I know here. Wasn't you, brother, wasn't you. But, you know, he did what he was supposed to do. But can you understand the spirit with which we do it is probably more important than almost what we do? Because just the letter alone, did he give me the direction? Yes. But the letter alone can kill. It is the spirit that giveth life. And that's exactly what the Lord is saying, is if we're going to make things right in our families, in our marriages, it's got to be done in a way that the Spirit of God gives life, gives life. Some time ago, I was told this story, and it's a true story. The Bank of America president was giving a little seminar about how important the spirit of his employees are, not just the actions of, even though they're doing it right, the spirit is incredibly important. He said, you want to know how expensive a good spirit is? I'll tell you how valuable it is. In this one Bank of America building on the mainland, people would park in this parking structure, and then some would make, you know, go to the bank and make a transaction, and then you would validate their ticket, and they would have free parking. Others, however, would make a transaction, a small one, or maybe even check on their balance, and then get their ticket validated, but then they would go shopping at the malls in the area using that parking as free parking because I made a transaction at the bank, so it's free parking. And then they would stay 4 or 5 hours shopping and then get in their car and it's validated and they would leave. And so after so many abuses, a policy came down that said, no more are we going to validate tickets. It's just going to be by time. So everybody pays. If you're there in half hour at the bank, under half hour, it's free. But anything over, you pay per time. So if you're in the bank longer, you're just going to have to pay. Or if you park there and you go shopping, you pay however long you're there. So no more validating of tickets. So they got it okay. Well, next day, in the line was this man with just an old flannel shirt, and he made his way to the front of the line and went to a teller, made a small transaction, and then said, would you please validate my ticket? And the girl said, we don't validate tickets anymore. He said, no, you've always validated my ticket. She said, sir, there's people been abusing that privilege, making small transactions in this bank and wanting their tickets validated. So we're not validating anymore because of abuse. He said, but you've always, she said, read my lips. We don't validate tickets anymore. And there's a bunch of people waiting behind you in line. Would you move on? He said, but she said, move on. So he made his way to the back of the line and got back in the line again and made his way up to the front as the line crept forward. And he went to another teller and withdrew $4.2 million. And went to another bank and deposited in another bank. And the president said, you all know how important your spirit is and employees? It's worth $4.2 million is what it is. And I thought about that and I said to myself, how much more even in the church where we deal with problems every day? When people come, when there's a crowd, when there's no parking, all of these. And we can deal with problems with our own spirit attached, or we can say, Lord, would you fill me with your spirit? And the Lord says, those who are full of my spirit, when they deal with things, will be known as problem solvers, those who are making things right. And if I can build a cadre of those, I'll be delighted to answer more prayers. Because I know that when it comes attached with them problems, we've got plenty of people making things right that'll solve them and the kingdom moves forward. You understand? Two of the tools that you need to have in your pocket. One is a consistent reputation for who you are here. We're at our homes, with our marriages, at our jobs. And the other is that we're people who deal with things with the Spirit of God. Because the letter alone kills, but the Spirit gives life. And the third is people who are led by, and here it was, the word is wisdom. People who are led by wisdom. So write the word wisdom in, but circle the word led. There's a leading edge of wisdom. Where's she going to be found? Let's read in Proverbs, and you'll notice that Proverbs personifies wisdom and gives her a feminine gender and kind of in a respectful way. As a lady of beauty. And it writes this about wisdom. Let's read it together. Go. Wisdom shouts in the streets. She lifts her voice in the square. At the head of the noisy streets, she cries out. At the entrance of the gates in the city, she utters her sayings. Yeah. Now, he's saying that here's the geographical locations, as it were, where wisdom will be found and heard. She'll be speaking. Now, you say, well, what is wisdom? Wisdom is this. You know, when a situation comes, my first knee-jerk response is the way I see it, the way I want people to hear it. It's my reaction to it. Now, wisdom is God's response to something, and or my response. Wisdom is seeing things through God's eyes. But this is how you've got to work it. When a situation comes, usually my first response is not the best. How many of you would agree? Yeah. Like someone, you get a letter. What? That's it. I'm going to let him know, you know. And then the next day, oh, man, I can't send that. That's terrible. But our first response, if we send it, will get us into trouble. And it's gotten me into trouble, and it's gotten many of you into trouble. Can you say amen? Yeah, amen. We've done that. So our first response is usually not the best. It's not God's wisdom. You've got to, if we want wisdom to speak, we've got to, before we react, we need to put that on hold for a while until wisdom clicks in. Because wisdom will not vie to get in line before you. You have to wait as an act of courtesy for wisdom, because she's a lady. If you can remember this, it's sort of like this. It's a word picture. Catch this. It's sort of like going to a door, opening the door, but waiting and letting a lady, as an act of courtesy, letting a lady go in first. Stopping, because you could have gone in, but by choice, you wait and you allow this lady to go through first as an act of courtesy and as an act of respect. Wisdom is the same way. When you see an issue or a problem or something you don't agree with, or something doesn't fit your fancy, instead of just, oop, you as an act of courtesy to the Lord, the God of wisdom, you just stop and you let her go first. Just hold what you would say until wisdom enters, and what she dictates is what's going to be the best. So when something happens and you see it and you get a little upset, oh, okay, God, you go first. You go first. That's basically how it is. You go first, Lord. You need to speak, because I want to speak, but I'm going to, as an act of courtesy, you go ahead. You go ahead. You know what? That really honors the Lord, because it's an act of respect. It's an act of allegiance. It honors God. How many times, I bet, we dishonor God? I don't care what God says. You want to know what I say? And the Lord's saying, whoa, okay, go ahead, you know? And then we get into trouble. But when we stop and say, no, wisdom, you need to speak, you know, and you get mad at your wife. Tell her. And you know what wisdom will say? I will tell her. I will speak in wisdom to her. But by the way, can I use your voice? Can I use your voice through which I will dictate what is the wisest thing to say? And listen, here it is. If you will submit as a servant to wisdom, if you will allow God to use your voice, you begin to speak, well, not what I want to say, but what wisdom would dictate. It's the best thing to say. Oh, you're going to have a battle going on inside, because your flesh will always vie for first place. But you just hold it in check and speak what wisdom would dictate. If you can be a man or a woman of wisdom, it honors God. It's an act of respect. It's an act of courtesy. And if you will speak what wisdom dictates, listen, I promise you, it will save you years of suffering. Years of broken relationships, years of unnecessary pain, when we learn to be a man or a woman of wisdom. And all it is stopping and letting her go first. It's holding what you think in abeyance and letting God's word speak. And then saying, Lord, if you want to use my voice, go ahead. And then you speak, not what you feel, what God is dictating. And what is wise? What's the wisest thing? And when you do it with the right spirit, and it's a consistent thing, I tell you, we'll start building a ton of people who are people who are known as those who are making things right. And you watch God begin to answer prayers like crazy because he's got people out there that are making things right. You say, well, where will wisdom speak? When must I stop and let her through? Where are those moments where I need to pause? He'll tell us. He says, first of all, she will be shouting in the streets or along the way. It's in the street that you're walking on from point A to point B. You know what's that saying? Would you write down in your notes there? Wisdom is a constant companion. When you're moving in one direction, traversing and transition from a job to another job, from one place to another place, here to there, growing from this season to that season, from being a fiancé to a wife, then from a wife into a mother, and a mother into a mother of teenagers, mother of teenagers into a grandmother, all those transition, those pathways, wisdom will be your constant companion. Watch for her. She'll be talking to you. And it says, and she lifts her voice in the square. You know what the square was of a city? It's where all the roads converged. There would be a roundabout where people would sell their wares. It was the intersection where life would meet. Decisions would have to be made. Direction would have to be received and taken. And it's saying here, wisdom speaks, would you write down, at the intersections of life where direction is needed. Wisdom will speak. When you're needing direction, listen, because wisdom is going to be speaking. And then it says, at the head of the noisy streets, she cries out. Sometimes, like it's a Mardi Gras of people with conflicting voices, cacophony of voices. And in the midst of that, would you write down, she speaks in the midst of conflicting voices. When you're needing direction and you're going to get counsel from someone in the locker room, someone at work, a buddy that's a fishing buddy, you're going to have all these conflicting voices. Listen, because wisdom will be speaking. So before you enter a direction, you stop and let her in and listen. What's the wisest thing? What is the wisest thing? And then finally, at the entrance of the gates, she cries out. At the entrance of the gates. A gate is outside, you'll be a foreigner or a sojourner or a passerby. But once you enter into the gate of this city, you come under the ordinances. You are now committed to the rules, the laws, and regulations of this city. You've entered in to this commitment. And it says, at the entrance of the gate, she's speaking. You know what it's saying here? That she will counsel you, here it is, before you enter new seasons of relationships. Before you enter into a new relationship, stop and ask for wisdom. Don't let excitement or novelty or some new experience thrust you in to a new commitment and then say, oh no, what happened? How come you didn't warn me? Well, because you didn't listen to wisdom. She was speaking at the gates. Before you enter a new season, take some time, stop, let wisdom speak. And you hold your excitement, hold your enthusiasm, hold whatever it needs to be aside so that wisdom can speak. I guarantee you it will save you maybe a lifetime of sorrow if you know where wisdom is and hear her speak. Well, how do I develop ears for her voice? It tells us in James 1 and verse 5. Let's read it together. Go. If you need wisdom, if you want to know what God wants you to do, ask him. And he will gladly tell you. He will not resent your asking. Yeah, he's saying, ask, stop and say, Lord, I need to hear wisdom. And he'll locate her for you. And at those moments, those points in life, listen, because that's where she's talking. And the one who really is speaking is in this next verse. In Christ are hidden all treasures of wisdom and knowledge. It's he who speaks to you. He gives you wisdom because he knows that his Father wants to answer prayers. But answered prayers always comes attached with maintenance issues, which turns into problems, which causes us to be problem spotters, blame game champions, and excuse artists. And the Lord is saying, no, if I answer and everyone is bummed and complaining and because of it and griping, then I can't answer any more prayers because my answers make you a people that's mutated. But if I can develop those who will be making things right with the tools of a good or genuine reputation, who you are here is who you are out there. People full of the Spirit, not just making corrections, but making sure that the Spirit with which we do those things is His Spirit. And wisdom, that we pause before we speak and let wisdom as an act of courtesy, as an act of respect, speak and use us, Lord, through which wisdom dictates the next direction, the next course to take. And when we speak in wisdom, I tell you, it saves us so many years of problems. And when God sees those kinds of people, He just starts answering prayers like crazy because He knows we'll steward the answers well. You understand? I believe there's a new season in your life, in your marriage, in your families, and many of us need to solve some problems. So God is giving us those tools. And my prayer and challenge is when you leave this place, you'll say, Lord, please begin to develop these in my life so that I can take my place as someone making things right. So that when you get into your family, you're not just a referee. You're actually bringing everybody to a common place of healing and wholeness. And there's a fragrance about your life. Because sometimes I go into a room and my kids have this thing, my wife says this, and my other kid says this. And someone has to bring them back to the foot of the cross. And when we can be those kinds of people, ooh, will He answer prayers? You'll start to see things made right. And that's exactly what God wants. In closing, I'm going to give you a mind teaser, a brain teaser, to show you that you can actually take things that are going crazy and everybody's starting point is another place and bring everybody to a common ground. So it'll be a mathematical kind of thing. So here it is. I want everybody right now to think of a number. Don't tell anybody, but think of a number between 1 and 10. Don't tell anybody, just 1 and 10, but make it a whole number, an integer, not a fraction of, all right? So it could be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. One of those numbers, all right? Got it? Okay. Now, we're going to take everybody's starting point, we're going to bring you back to a common place. So, all right, here it is. Now, take that number and multiply it by 2. Got it? All right, now here's going to be tough. Add 9 to it. Okay, add 9, got it? Okay, now minus 3. Okay, so you doubled it, added 9, minus 3. Now divide it by 2. Divide it by 2. Now minus your original number that you had, minus your original number. And your answer is 3. You see, I told you, some people go, how you do that? How do you do that? But just a mind teaser to show that it doesn't matter where people's starting points are. If we are people who are making things right, there is a way to bring everybody onto the same page so that God can move us forward. Can you say amen? You guys are pretty smart, pretty smart. Let's stand together. Thanks, Tony. Would you bow your heads with me as we conclude in prayer? Don't forget about water baptism, 3:00 today. With your heads bowed, if you say, you know, Wayne, that's me. I'm one of those guys. Either you're a person that says, you know, I make corrections, but I don't do it with the right spirit. Or, you know, Lord, my reputation, what I am at church, I'm not always the same at home or at my job. Or some of you might say, you know, I've got to get some wisdom because it's usually my words that I give out. And then I think, oh, wisdom. I think about that later, but it's too late. As an act of respect to God, I need to let wisdom speak first, not me. You could be one of those scenarios. And if it is, and you say, Lord, would you help me, change me? Would you raise a hand and just say, Lord, that's me. Would you change me? Help me to be someone who is making things right. I want to be a part of that cadre of people so that our prayers will be answered even yet more in this place, at our homes, at our workplaces. Yeah, you can put your hands down. Father, I thank you so much for this wonderful, wonderful church where we're all learning, we're all growing. We're all learning one lesson at a time so that from glory to glory, we'll look more and more like you. Would you seal these things to our hearts? And by the way, Lord, when wisdom speaks, could you use us? Use our hearts through which you speak. Use our hands. Use us, Lord. So if you can use anything, use us to be people who make things right. Starting today, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you thank him with a clap offering? Go ahead.
You have just heard the conclusion of a message entitled Making Things Right by Pastor Wayne Cordero. Thank you for listening. Until next time, for Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you a great day in the Lord and aloha.